My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
The weather in Central Ohio just got better, and so should your loan rate. CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.9% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at CMEFCU.org. Terms apply. Minimum floor rates 4.99% APR car, 6.5% APR. PR other vehicles federally insured by NCUA.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of Premiership action. Rangers travel to Aberdeen looking for a second win under Michael Beale amid lots of talk about how the hosts will approach the game. And speaking of which, Ange Postecoglou is not happy with people lumping Celtic and Rangers together, and Motherwell have completed the signing of Sligo Rovers defender Shane Blaney. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight you have Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Well, the World Cup seems a distant memory now, and we're right back into Premiership action midweek, starting with a huge game tonight at Pittodrie, Aberdeen against Rangers. Jim Gooden under a wee bit of pressure from his own fans for their team's display against Celtic at the weekend. It'll be interesting to see if he changes that up. And Michael Beale obviously looking to carry on from the game last week against Hibs, and then over to the rest tomorrow night. Looking forward to a jam-packed midweek.
Yeah, delighted to be back, especially after the weekend of football started on Thursday night. Exciting. It's up to Rangers tonight again to put that little bit of pressure, try and close that gap to six, put the pressure on to Celtic tomorrow night. I don't think many fans of Livingston go to Celtic Park, but that doesn't matter. Rangers have got to go and take care of business at Pittodrie. And the question was, will Jim Goodman park the bus again?
0141 951 1025. He asks the questions, you provide the answers. That's the way this works. So come on then, how are you feeling about the game tonight, Aberdeen fans, Rangers fans? If you're on the way up, you might still have us. You might be able to listen and call as you make the trip up. If you're staying put and watching it on the TV, then we'd certainly love to hear from you. This is the bit I miss the most over those 5 weeks. That big game feel, those big nights where we just share the build up together. You come on and tell us who needs to play, what names must be in the team sheet, who you don't want to see anywhere near the place, what the tactic should be, how you see the game going, and everything in between. 0141 951 1025. So what should the team look like, Rangers fans? Are you taking a risk on Conor Goldson and Ben Davies? What does the bit in front of them look like? If you would you go a bit more defensive in midfield, going to Pittodrie? Have you got something else up your sleeve? All of your suggestions, please. And of course, something that has been bubbling away in the last couple of nights: how will Aberdeen approach this? Will they do the same as they did against Celtic at the weekend? Or should we stop lumping those two together, as Ange Postecoglou is requesting? You can let us know. 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. So give us a call right now, please. I can see actually pictures still coming in from Argentina, Gordon, from Buenos Aires. Tell me that you, the biggest World Cup skeptic, all you've done is moan about it. You were fed up with it. You weren't watching it. Please tell me you managed to find some enjoyment in that final on Sunday.
Yeah, I think I'd be telling fibs if I didn't enjoy the last sort of 20 minutes of the game,
right, okay,
and extra time the penalties. Actually, at one point, like most people thought, this is over at 2-0. I turned over and was watching the golf.
Now hold on, nobody else turned over though, just to be clear about that.
Yeah, well, I was more interested in the other side, and eventually got a text saying, oh, it's exciting now. So look, well done. I think the fairy
how hard that is for him to say. I mean, I actually sat and watched it with a smile on my face, because I thought, this guy's moaned for 5 weeks. He was moaning on Saturday, saying, oh, this third place game's the best game, and oh, can't wait till it's over. And then we arguably got one of the greatest games of football ever, with two of the biggest stars producing. We had everything,
and he said it was okay.
And he says it was okay.
Look, I enjoyed the excitement like everyone else, let's be honest about it. But I've got to be honest as I can here. I am so glad it's over. Let's look forward to our league.
Let's look forward to our league. I don't mind that at all. We can do both at the same time. So please then, Rangers fans, Aberdeen fans, how are you feeling about tonight? How do you see the game going? What should the team look like? Who would you like to see involved? From a Rangers perspective, are you taking a chance on Conor Goldson and Ben Davies? Would you rush them? Would you put them back in because this is such a big game? Or do you have to be mindful of the schedule that's coming up? And what on earth will Aberdeen's tactics be? Because we've speculated about it for the last couple of days, and tonight is the night. How will Aberdeen approach this? Of course, later we'll hear from Ange Postecoglou. We'll build up to Celtic Livingston and cover anything else that's out there. But it goes without saying, Aberdeen v Rangers very much in the forefront of our minds right now. So come on, let's do it. 0141 951 1025. To set the scene for you, let's go to Pittodrie. Gabriel is there for us.
Yes, I am, Gordon. A chilly night up here in the northeast ahead of this massive clash between Aberdeen and Rangers. Well, the Beale era began with an enthralling 3-2 comeback victory over Hibernian on Thursday night, but the new manager knows it was far from a good performance. He claims his team must improve if they're to head back down the road this evening with all 3 points. That's because they face a resolute Aberdeen side who are just 3 minutes away from holding champion Celtic to a stalemate here at the weekend. Manager Jim Goodwin acknowledged the frustration of some Dons fans at his defensive tactics, and he says they have the right to complain. However, he reminded everyone that he is the manager at the end of the day, and he will choose the team's tactics. So the big question we've been asking is, will he stick or twist? Will he sit deep, play the five at the back, and try and hold Rangers all game, holding on for a point, perhaps even more if they can launch some counter-attacks? Or will he play on the front foot, open up, like his team did at Ibrox back in October, taking a one-goal lead before succumbing to a 4-1 defeat? What about the visitors then, Rangers? Well, speaking yesterday, Michael Beale claimed he has two main focuses right now. One of them is to build his team's style. Of course, it's just his second game. He wants to give them clarity on how they want to play whilst making them hard to beat. But the second is to get his team fit and healthy again. There's still no Antonio Colak. He headlines a long absentee list that includes both of the club's left-backs and several other key players. However, vice-captain Conor Goldson and fellow centre-halves Leon King and Ben Davies are available again for the Jers. Whether Beale brings them in from the start is a different question. I'll bring you the team news when it does come in the next 40 minutes or so, but really looking forward to this one. Another ferocious fixture between two teams sitting second and third in the table. Of course, a Dons win would be huge, not only points wise, but also it would be Goodwin's biggest scalp since he's been in the Pittodrie hot seat. And whilst the tough tests keep coming for Michael Beale, he will tell you more than anything, the most important thing is just a win and taking a chance to close the gap on Celtic down to 6 points again before the league leaders play tomorrow.
Come on then, for the next 40 minutes you can do the old psychic routine and try and predict who's going to play, and maybe get your wish list in there as well. And of course the narrative, I can use it, Hugh Keevan's most hated word because he's not here. The narrative this week has all been about Aberdeen being very negative against Celtic and question marks about how they will fare, how they will approach things against Rangers. So come on then, 0141 951 1025. The thing I love about this, Gordon, Aberdeen v Rangers at Pittodrie in any season, at any time of any season, is one of the fixtures you look out for. And that's before you even get to the Michael Beale factor, the how will Aberdeen approach it factor, the fact we've been off for 5 weeks factor. It really has all the ingredients of a cracker tonight.
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's so many talking points and we don't even know the team yet. That's the excitement of our league being back. The 5 weeks has been a big miss. Aberdeen obviously set their tactics out against Celtic. I'm not against that. I do understand a bit of it, But where my argument was always going to be, look, if you're just going to sit there and kick the ball up the pitch and wait for Celtic to come and attack you with the quality, they will eventually, you know, break you down. And that's what happened. Now, Aberdeen fans were up in arms. Rangers got there. And you look and see if you look at this game, the now, you say Celtic and Rangers are different. I hear what Ange Postecoglou is saying. Rangers got there. I don't think Rangers have lost up there in about nine games. So, and I don't think Aberdeen will beat Rangers in the league in the last 13 games.
Who's this guy? I mean, doing his research before he comes in. That break has served you well.
Yeah, that's when you switch a World Cup off, you get plenty of time in your hands.
2016, it was James Madison scored the free kick.
We're on the ball here tonight. Listen, tune in, we are on the ball. So, what I'm saying then is, if that's the case and Jim fears Celtic so much, is he going to all of a sudden just change his tactics, go right, everybody up front and go forward and let's get on the front foot? Me personally, I think he's got to, because I think he's put himself in such a position and the fans will not accept doing the same tactics as they tried to achieve on Saturday against Celtic.
Or will they? If it works, let us know. 01419511025. Scott's in Paisley to kick things off. What do you think tonight, Scott? What's your point ahead of this game?
Obviously, the team against Hibs at the weekend there. The defending, obviously, for Kevin Nisbet's goal was nothing short of shambolic. It should never have happened. Tavernier switched off. Lundstrom playing at centre-back, didn't get good to about 60 minutes in. James Sands, no really. But the question I've got is, why have Rangers signed John Souter? Why? Because we know he's injury-prone. Ross Wilson get pulled up about this at the AGM about signing a player, but I'd like to see Goldson in the other night. I'd like to see a return for Conor Goldson against Aberdeen.
Quickly on the John Souter thing, we've been kind of here before. Maybe nights like tonight's bringing it to the forefront of Scott's mind. What's your take on that before we get into the stuff about tonight?
I can totally understand the frustration from the Rangers supporters. Totally get that.
The player will be frustrated.
I was just coming to that point, Gordon. But you've got to think for the player. Now, the one thing is, I think John Souter is a very, very good defender indeed. Right? He was flying high. He'd get his move to Rangers, Scotland team. He was doing well. And all of a sudden, he picks up that other injury that knocks him back again. This is what's happened to the lad throughout his career. I totally take on board what the Rangers fans are saying, because if you sign a guy and then you look at the weekend, Thursday night, you've got two midfield players playing centre-half. You know, that you won't get away with that every single game. Now, tonight, as Scott says, I think if Goldson is fit, I think he's 100% certain to start. I think he's that important to Rangers. You can maybe argue, will he play, you know, for instance, Sands in there with him? Will he play King? Because I think he's back in squad. Am I right in saying that, Gordon? I think he's fit. So, but I definitely think if you're picking one out of all these defenders, that you're going to take a chance and away to Pittodrie tonight, mines would be Conor Goldson all day.
Just quickly on the John Souter point, Mark. The manager says they were aiming sort of mid to late January for him to return. So we'll see. On Conor Goldson tonight, do you think he comes straight back in? It's a very heavy schedule that's coming up. How do you manage it?
I would say he would go straight back in. If he's fit, if he's been training, yeah, I would put him in. Like we said last Thursday when the teams were read out, it was an area that we highlighted. When you've got Sands and Lundstrom in there, it's never going to be perfect, that two midfielders in there. I think you get away with it if there's an actual out-and-out centre-half playing beside them. But the problems were there to be seen. So I think if Goldson's anywhere near fit, he will come back in. I think one of the other two may partner, or like Daz says, if King's fit, then he'll be back in. And that's good news for Rangers and Beale, because I actually think Goldson has been the main player that's been missed. I know there's been other injuries and other players dropping in at the squad and in and out of form, but I think Goldson's the one that they've really missed since our Liverpool game.
I mean, Scott, does it worry you that if there was to be another makeshift backline, would that worry you tonight? Or if Aberdeen are as defensive as they were at the weekend, maybe the backline won't get tested? That maybe links the two topics together. What do you think?
Well, Aberdeen always bring a game to Rangers. Rangers always take a game to Aberdeen. To be honest, I think the Kevin Nisbet goal against us on the weekend was a wake-up call for the back line. It was a wake-up call for Beale to say, right, this what he's planning isn't going to work. My back four tonight would be Tavernier. Obviously, you kind of dropped Tavernier, he's a captain. Goldson, Ben Davies, and Devlin.
Oh, Devine, maybe Leon King. Again, Mark, there is the perfect link here, because if the game was to pan out like it did at the weekend, you two could play centre half for
good point.
Aberdeen. However, Ange Postecoglou, as we'll get to later, is quite right to point out that's a very different challenge, you know, and then that's before we even get to the fact that Aberdeen, either because they're stung by the criticism or because they do feel like they've got more of a chance of attacking Rangers anyway, might go for it. And in Miovski, you've got the top scorer in the league, you've got Duke. Is it therefore important Rangers do try and get some of the so-called stronger personnel back?
I think so. I think tonight's game will take on a different shape to Saturday's. Now, I believe that Jim May played the same tactics, because for 87 minutes they kept out the best team in the league going forward by far. You've got to remember as well how good that Celtic are at pressing and winning the ball back. And Daz highlighted at the weekend why they were going long. Well, they were going long for a reason, because Celtic are so good at pressing. They just never had the quality or the strength to actually hold that ball up there and get the rest of the midfield up with them. Rangers may just play a different way. It may be more open for Aberdeen. You know, we're chanting about the centre-halves here. Duke and Miovski may get more joy out of those centre-halves than he did at the weekend against Starfield and Carter Vickers. So he may pick the same tactics, he may look to hold Rangers, but he might just get a wee bit more quality when they actually win the ball back and get at Rangers.
Thank you, Scott. That was Scott and Paisley to kick things off. David's in Pollock Shields. What do you think tonight, David?
Evening, guys. Thanks for having us again.
Pleasure.
I've got to say I'm sort of a wee bit miffed at all this talk about how Aberdeen always raise a game against Rangers and all the rest of it, and I sort of understand where they're coming from. But at the same time, you know, I agree that people need to recognise that, you know, that it is two different sides right now. Rangers have got a real glass jaw at the back right now without Goldson at the back. So, you know, of course other teams are going to try and have a go when Goldson isn't in there. I agree, he's got to get him back in there as quickly as possible, but just err on the side of caution. The last thing we need is any kind of injury relapse for the guy, and he ends up even longer again. So as long as he is fully fit, I get him back in the team, but a wee bit of caution there, because it seemed to be quite a bad injury, and also I thought he was going to be out longer than, you know, than the new. So, you know, I'm just a wee bit cautious of that, but I totally agree, if he's fully fit and he's been training, get him in the side, because without doubt, he's the one guy we've been missing since that Liverpool game.
Yeah, Gordon, again, the vulnerabilities, if you want to call it that, were exposed at the back on Thursday. That said, Rangers had enough to go and win that match, obviously, as they did it enough in an attacking sense. That one was at Ibrox, this one's at Pittodrie. The league table tells you Aberdeen are better than Hibs at the moment. So what would you take from Thursday in terms of a comparison? Is there any?
Well, it doesn't matter if it's Pittodrie, Tynecastle, whatever. I'd still concerned that two midfield players are my two main centre-halves. Tavernier comes in for a little bit of criticism because he gets caught positionally, and, you know, he loses. He's more going forward, Tavernier, for me. Young Devine's doing okay at left back, you know, settled in there well. But you want your best players in the team. Now, Goldson will not be risked under any circumstances tonight at Pittodrie if they don't think that he's totally 100% fit. If it's the case, Goldson will be in the team because he's the lad that holds everything together at back. Rangers are harder to break down. Everybody keeps saying that, and we said it earlier at the start of the show, Aberdeen raised their game against Rangers. Aberdeen have not beat Rangers in 13 games, league games. They've not beat them in 9 at Pittodrie. So I don't see where a big fear is for Rangers going to Pittodrie tonight.
It's probably, by the way, this maybe feeds into something psychologically about how important it is when Rangers or Celtic, sorry Ange, drop points. Because even there have been a couple of draws, and I wonder if that's what sticks in people's head. There was the one all last season, wasn't there? A Lewis Ferguson penalty, and Ryan Kent was sent off. And then you're right, nothing before that. That was Rangers League winning season. The season before that, there was that high profile 2-2 game, where I think Rangers were 2-0 up and Aberdeen pegged them back. So maybe it's perception rather than reality.
And I think where Jim's got the big problem is, look, I have no doubt if Jim could have held on at the weekend, and I don't think they deserve to hold on, to be quite honest with you. I thought they were absolutely terrible to watch, and I can totally understand their style of football by defending against a better team, but when you get the ball, you just don't kick it away like schoolboys and say, right, invite more attacks on. If Jim had got away with that, I don't think there was any doubt he'd give me the same tactics tonight. But he's put himself under pressure from his own supporters, who will not accept it. And we know the sort of...
Can you listen to that though, if you're a manager? At what point do you check in your own beliefs and compromise them because of what fans
look,
think?
Look, I think managers are strong, and Jim's quite right to come out and say, I pick the team and whatever. But Jim's got a... You know, as a manager, sometimes you think, yeah, okay, I can totally understand. We need to, as much as we can still have a tactic, but we've got to offer something going forward.
But again, this goes back to what Ange Postecoglou said today, which I will play very soon. We're talking about it and I haven't played it yet. If Aberdeen change the way they play tonight, who says it's got anything to do with the criticism at the weekend? Who says it's got anything to do with just raising their game? Maybe Jim Goodwin has got this mad idea that it's an entirely different game with an entirely different opponent with an entirely different system. And he wants to change it.
100% agree. Rangers are a far different team from Celtic in everything that they do in terms of their approach. The only equal thing is that the Rangers squad and players are better than the Aberdeen squad. That was the case on Saturday with the Celtic players compared to the Aberdeen players. But in terms of system, in terms of the way that Rangers press, who they can Aberdeen
so
can
you think
get
Aberdeen
at the back.
Could be more open against Rangers.
There's every chance. Well, so Jim thinks he can get them.
They went to Ibrox and were open. What happened to them?
Yeah, Jim, they got beat. Because Rangers have better players.
They get so tonight is no different. Rangers have got better players. So I think that if you're going to do it against Celtic, you do it against Rangers.
David, what do you think further up the pitch? Does it pick itself up there? What are you looking to see?
I think again, if Cholak's still not fully fit, I'm happy that Morelos is at least back fit again. He certainly looked a lot leaner and hungrier against Hibs than we've seen him for a while. I was impressed with him, especially in the second half. And you need options up front. We know this, if you're going to get through the rest of the season pretty much unbeaten, which is essentially what Rangers need to look at, I think. Now, we can't afford to drop any more points. And we need more strikers firing, it's as simple as that. Cholak's been outstanding, no doubt about that. But we need something that bit different. And Morelos can sometimes provide that wee bit of extra guile up front, I think. Running into the channels, pulling defences apart. He's a nightmare for defenders when he's on his game. So I'm happy to see him back, and I think more time in the team, I think he'll hopefully come back to his best form again.
Top man David, nice to hear from you. That was David and Pollock Shields. What do you think then? We're building up to kick off. 01419511025. Who should play? How will Aberdeen approach things? How do you see the game going? Get your calls in right now and we'll get you on next.
Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We'd be lucky to get one wise man.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here. It's 01419511025. We're building up to kick off at Pittodrie, Aberdeen against Rangers. And all the talk for the last few days is about how Aberdeen will approach it in comparison to how they approached it against Celtic. Ange Postecoglou doesn't like the teams being lumped together. He'll explain why in just a second. Let's bring in Neil in Cumbernauld first though. How's it going, Neil? Are you well?
Yeah, all good, thanks. How's everyone up there?
Not bad. Well, during the break, Gordon Diel just revealed that he didn't even watch the World Cup trophy being lifted, and so he's got no idea about Messi wearing the wee robe or anything. But I'm going to slaughter him for that later on and get to your point, which I think is more important. How do you see the game going tonight?
I don't know. I think it's more important to wonder why he wasn't watching the World Cup.
Exactly, Neil. Neil, he is a unique individual.
He's definitely unique as well. My point is, as a Rangers fan, I would gamble on Conor Goldson starting tonight. I know the fitness-wise he's not there, but the reason why I would gamble is if I was Jim Goodwin and I seen the team line-up from Saturday with the two centre midfielders as your centre-back pairing who were all over the place. And then you've got Devine, who, by the way, had a cracking game, but he's inexperienced and could be caught out positionally when he's attacking. And he knows that if Michael Beale's back, Rangers are going to do a high press. They're going to charge down Aberdeen at high. So if Aberdeen are able to bypass that with the players of Miosky and Duke.
Oh, he's gone. He disappeared. There was nothing to do with me. I pressed no button. I think he was heading in the direction of a very good point, though.
Great point.
And this is the thing. Aberdeen do have an attacking threat. We didn't see it at the weekend, but it's there. And he wants to see Conor Goldson in to shore that up.
Yeah, I think where his argument's correct and his point is very good is the way Aberdeen defended on Saturday and then lumped the ball up the pitch. You get Carter Vickers and Starfelt, Taylor and Ralston at the back. Very strong defenders, good defenders. So Miosky and Duke couldn't get on it. Duke had one run, I think it was at Ralston down the left hand side. So when you've got the quality of these centre backs there, it does become very difficult to go on the ball and get up the pitch. Now, if he had to get into the same tactics tonight, and you had, for instance, Lundstrom and Sands, two midfield players playing centre back, I think you've got a better chance of getting Miosky and Duke onto the ball. Because I don't think they're in the same quality. Well, I know they're not in the same quality defensive-wise as Starfelt and Carter Vickers. And that's where I think it's so important for Goldson to be in that centre defence tonight.
I guess sometimes, Mark, the language is important, because Neil, before he disappeared, said he would risk Conor Goldson. I'm sure if the Rangers physios are listening, they'll be saying, no, he's not a risk. You know, we've got it all figured out. But whatever it is, I suppose the question is not really, is he fit enough to play tonight? Is it not more, is he fit enough to handle a schedule which sees Rangers play 5 times in 18 days? That includes the Hibs game, by the way. But, you know, you can't just have him tonight and then...
Yeah, look, I'd imagine it would be. You know, physios and worked with loads who are pretty strong. If a player is not fit or they don't think he can complete a schedule like that, then they don't put him back into the manager's thinking. If Goldson's in the squad, I think he'll play. I think it's a certainty.
Did you see the stuff that Michael Beale said when he heard that Leon King was ill? Conor Goldson phoned him and said, I'm playing tonight, you know, I'll play, put me in. Sort of thing in the Hibs game.
All right, okay. And he couldn't.
Or they didn't want to.
But you've got to think of Goldson now. People say he's not played for a long time, but nor has anyone in this league. I mean, I know we had the games at the weekend, but apart from that, every player has had a 5-week layoff, barring the couple of pre-season friendlies that have been thrown in there. So it's a good position to be in if you're Goldson. You're not coming in through December and try to catch up. Yeah. You're almost there anyway.
I think we've lost Neil altogether, but Tam in Barrhead is on with a similar point. I think, how important is Conor Goldson's name appearing on that team sheet tonight, Tam?
Well, I agree with the last caller before he got cut off. I think Conor Goldson should start tonight. If you go 2-0 up, 3-0 up, take him off, rest him for the rest of the game. Because the last few games before he got injured, we've lost a lot of goals, which I think is down to Conor Goldson not being in the team. I was a big fan of Conor Goldson before he was injured, but it just shows you he's injured, we've lost a lot of goals.
Yeah, to be fair to Tam, he's saying he always was a fan anyway. For those who were critical of Conor Goldson, I'd like to hear from them as well. I wonder if it's a case of not knowing what you've got till it's gone, sort of thing.
First and foremost, Conor Goldson is a centre back. That's where that's his position. Rangers played against Hibs with two midfield players in there. So, one, he's important to get back. Secondly, he's an experienced centre back. He's a very good centre back. And I think he reads the game brilliantly, Goldson. I really do. I think he's a very, very top centre half. So, of course, he's going to be a miss, because you don't want to go to any game. Look, they played Hibs at home with Michael Beale, with the new manager coming in, the 49,000+ in there, what it is, the atmosphere cranked up, thinking, yeah, okay, we're going to be comfortable here. And you look at the goals that they lost. Now, you go to Pittodrie against an Aberdeen team who's coming in for a lot of criticism, who have got two players up top, given the right service, could basically hurt you. So I think, I agree with the Rangers fans, and I think the guys Tam and the lad before him will not be alone in saying they will be desperate for to hear Golson on that team sheet tonight.
Tam, where are your confidence levels? The guys have been saying that, you know, Rangers, despite all the talk, have got a pretty good record against Aberdeen of late. How do you think it's going to go tonight?
50-50, to be honest. But I think I said 2-1. We win 2-1, but I think they'll go 1-0 up before. But as I said to you, guy before I phoned in, Aberdeen always wins a game against Rangers all the time. They always sit back against Celtic. They always park the bus against Celtic and always pick up against Rangers. I'm not the only one that said this. I think there's a few call that said that now.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have said it though.
If that is the case, well, there's a reason behind it. Celtic, so good going forward, so good at hunting the ball back and winning that high up the pitch. Maybe Jim Goodwin looks at Rangers and thinks that you can get at them more. You can
see the thing.
The thing
about this, if we're being so broad brush about it, it's actually got nothing to do with Jim Goodwin either, because he's only been the Aberdeen man. Yeah. So if we're talking, I think, let's be honest, right? Fans, when they say that, they don't mean what you mean.
I know.
They mean that there's a rivalry there, or there's something about the fixture, and some might even go as far as to say that they're trying harder, because as if Leighton Clarkson and Duke and whoever else are going to, you know anything about that. So that stuff's quite clearly flawed, right?
Yeah.
Maybe from the outside for fans, Jim Goodwin's a relatively new manager. It's a whole different set of players. When people say it, they're talking about the last 10 years. They're talking about the last 5 years. So it's just one of those statements, is it not, that gets thrown out there. And again, to go back to it, if they don't raise their game or whatever, when Celtic come to town, look at the last few times Celtic have been up there. They've all been really close games.
Yeah.
I know they sat off it at the weekend, and the tactics got some criticism. But in the last five visits to Pittodrie, Celtic have drawn two and won three by a single goal. So Celtic don't get it their own way. They might end up winning the game, but they don't get it their own way
can,
at the moment.
You can go
there.
Back years, you can go back to our time in football, and well, Mark's obviously a lot closer than me, but Pittodrie was always a very difficult game to go to. Whether you were a Celtic or Rangers, the crowd, it'll be a big crowd again. It was a packed house at the weekend there. It'll be a big crowd tonight. The atmosphere will be good. It'll be played at a quicker pace. Of course, teams like Aberdeen, Hearts, for instance, always raise their game against Celtic and Rangers, 100%. But the big question tonight is not about raising their game. That's a given. That's a given. It's what the tactics will be from Aberdeen. Will they use the same tactics as guys said that nearly worked against Celtic on Saturday, or will they be a bit more expansive?
We've done it all night so far, 38 minutes in, and we just keep lumping Celtic and Rangers together, and Ange Postecoglou will not be happy. If you want to hear his comments on that subject, we will play them next right here.
Oh, come all ye faithful, and hope your team is joyful and triumphant. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. You're right. It feels like you spent the full break practicing your golf swing there.
I've got a big night ahead.
We've got a wee mini Christmas night out, us three, don't we?
Yep.
We're going to Top Golf.
Top Golf, never been.
Well, you and I used to drive by it every day coming in here to work, seeing it step by step with the nets going up. We used to always, and now this is us, a wee mini,
this is it. It's
mini Christmas night out.
I was excited. I was passing it tonight. I've got a guy in there now looking at the yard. He's
because. We had obviously the real Christmas night out was last week, but you spent the full night on non-alcoholic beer. You then got up and left without saying goodbye to Mark Wilson and I. So we're going for a second Christmas night out to see if we can have an all-round better experience.
It's the most excited I've seen him. See the amount of questions he's fired at me since I've come in this studio.
His golf swing in the middle of the studio.
What do you think it'll be like? And what do you do here? I don't know. It's just opened. He is so excited.
What I'd really like to know, right, without looking a bit silly, because I've got my clubs and all that.
Do not walk in there with your full. You're going to put your golf shoes on.
I'm getting a
glove.
Everything.
Rangefinder, umbrella, everything.
I've got that.
Please don't, because him and I will head to a different bay.
I'd like to apologise to anybody that's seen me walking by with an electric trolley as I give it if I'm making a noise. If you're going, you've got to take it seriously. I've never been to one.
We'll report back on Thursday
Brilliant.
And see how it goes. Mini Christmas night out. Anyway, we're going to get teams from Pataudry, almost forgot where the game was there. Very soon, Tony's hanging on the line. Let's play this bit from Ange Postecoglou, because I kind of think it feeds in, maybe not in the way Ange Postecoglou wanted. This is what he's trying to stop happening, but it feeds into the discussions about the game tonight, because he says he finds it curious that some opposition managers and media folks lump Celtic and Rangers together as if facing them is the same task. He says they're all very different in terms of players and style.
You know, I hear opposition coaches and opposition players before we play them, and they can't seem to differentiate between us and Rangers at all. It's almost like when you play the top two, this is what happens, and some of them even talk about it as if it's an excursion. You know, you go through Glasgow and this is what you expect. I don't get that, because if I referred to all the other teams apart from Rangers as the other 10, and that, you know what, when we play the other 10, this is what happens, I'm not paying respect to the fact that, you know what, Livingston are going to be a different challenge to St Johnstone on the weekend. Even though they may play defensively, different ways they do that. Playing them home is different to playing them away. That's a bit I find sort of curious, because if people are assuming that, you know, if something works or doesn't work against Rangers, that's a reflection of how it's going to be. We're totally different teams. We play differently. We have different types of players. They have different strengths. We have different strengths. We're different home and away. From my perspective, it kind of works in our favour if that's how opposition coaches talk. I don't think they think that way, but when they talk that way, and they also bring a historical context, it just makes the task seem insurmountable, because you're going, you know, when you play the top two, this has always happened. You know, I'm going, well, you're not playing the top two. You're playing Rangers or you're playing Celtic, and you're playing them home, and maybe they got injuries this week, or maybe they've had a bad week the week before, or maybe they're coming off. So that's where I think I struggle with it a little bit. Not so much the tactics. The tactics, well, you know what, we all have our own way of methodology of doing things.
I can understand that. I can see why Ange Postecoglou, you know, doesn't quite understand that. He's still relatively new to the country. But I think what everybody means is, and I mentioned it earlier, Rangers and Celtic have got better players than the rest. If you're Jim Goodwin and Aberdeen, you probably go into a game against Hearts and you think, well, we've got same squad or maybe comparable, and you can look throughout the league and that's the case. When you come up against Rangers and Celtic, the gap between the individual players is so huge. That's why managers will lump the two together. But there is no doubt Celtic are by far the best team in the league with the best players at this minute, and the league table reflects that, and play a different style to Rangers. But it is still a huge challenge for the other remaining 10 teams.
It's an interesting comment. He's thought about it a lot, Gordon, and in the most literal sense, of course he's right. It's different players, different formations, different tactics, and at times they are in different form. Right now, obviously, Celtic are 9 points clear. They would be considered stronger. So in the most literal sense, he's correct. But to me, for instance, just to give Ange Postecoglou an insight, to me growing up as a Motherwell fan, they do just feel the same. It does just feel the same, because playing either of them, no matter who's better or not, and no matter if they've got different styles, playing either of them, if you're allowed to say that, is just a different kettle of fish from playing everyone else, because they two have so much more money than everyone else. Those two are the only teams that have won the league since the 80s. So see, to people on the outside, it does kind of feel like that. And yeah, that might be lazy, because when you dig deeper on an individual game by game literal basis, of course they're different. So I think he's made a very good point on one hand, but I also don't think it's that deep. I don't think it's a big controversy for people to do it either.
Yeah, right, okay, you know my thoughts on Postecoglou. I think
you love him, you and him go way back.
100%. Now, he's speaking there as a Celtic manager, and you're right, he makes good points as a Celtic manager. You flip him over to a Motherwell, a Livingston, a Kilmarnock, whoever you may be, and I think he'd have a different approach. Of course, the only thing I will say is, you are playing two different sides, but we keep harping on it. The financial difference between, like, say, for instance, a Motherwell or any other team in the league compared to what Celtic are paying is incredible. Same with Rangers. So you're always going to be under a cosh. And if you win, you know, it's a terrific result against the two. So if you're a provincial club listening to that, you're thinking, well, hold on a minute. You're not in these shoes here. You know, we just can't go out and have the players and the international players and everything that Celtic have got. So we have to adapt when it's Celtic and Rangers. The one thing where I will agree with him a little bit, you look at Aberdeen, I think Aberdeen defended very deep at the weekend because of Celtic's front three pace. didn't want to leave anything in, i.e. why Maeda gets subbed at half time, nowhere to run. Kyogo missed a couple of chances but never went in behind. Jota very seldom went in behind. So tactically it is different because you're playing against two different styles of play. But when you come up against Celtic Rangers, as I say, everybody will agree with them from a Celtic point of view, but not if you're a provincial club, you won't agree with that.
Let's quickly get teams from Pittodrie because we've got some big news, and then we'll bring in Tony on the line. Gabriel, take it away.
Yes, it's the news that all Rangers fans want to hear. Conor Gouldson is back in the starting lineup for the first time in nearly 2 months. He's the only change from that 3-2 victory against Hibernian last Thursday. He comes in for John Lundstrom, who drops to the bench. Leon King and Ben Davies, two other centre-halves, are among the substitutes. Here is the 11 that Michael Beale has picked for the game up here at Pittodrie. In goal, Al McGregor. A back four of James Tavernier, James Sands, Conor Gouldson and Adam Devine. Midfield two of Ryan Jack and Glenn Kamara, with Malik Tillman just in front of them. Ryan Kent will play off the left with Fashion Sakala off the right. Alfredo Morelos leads the line. The substitutes are McLaughlin, Lundstrom, Matondo, Wright, Davies, McCann, Arfield, King and Lowry. The Dons look like they have stuck with that 5-3-2 formation, much maligned by some of the Aberdeen support. It might not be as defensive, but we think it's going to be a similar structure. Just two changes for the Dons. Defender Liam Scales returns. He, of course, couldn't play against his parent club, Celtic, whilst Jaden Richardson comes in for Matty Kennedy, who is not among the substitutes. The team is as follows. Kelleroos in goal, a back three of Ross McCrory, Anthony Stewart and Liam Scales. Jaden Richardson will be right wing back with Hayden Coulson left wing back. Conor Barron, Ilber Randani and Leighton Clarkson in the middle of the park with Bojan Miosky and Duke up top. The substitutes for the Dons are Lewis, McKenzie, Morris, Bazulian, Hayes, Watkins, Duncan, Milne and Ramirez.
I mean, looking forward to it. Some big team news then. Conor Gouldson back. That's probably, well, definitely the headline from a Rangers perspective. Let's bring in Tony, who's an Aberdeen fan. What are you expecting tonight, Tony?
Evening to you all, panel. Season's greeting.
Thank you very much. Same to you.
I'd expect a lot different performance from against Saturday on Celtic. That's for sure. It's more or less the same formation. I can see I would have took Matty Kennedy out, which I don't think had much impact the other day. I'd just like to say as well, I think what Ange Postecoglou just said there before is perfect. Why does everyone keep treating them as the same? Rangers fans moan about us playing well against Celtic and not against Rangers, which is rubbish going on the stats. And that's a great point he made. Also, I think the way that we played on Saturday is to be expected. What can you do against a team like that? I think we did try to attack. We're not that negative. We also have two strikers. And I don't know. I'm looking forward to a good game tonight. I think there'll be a lot of entertainment.
Yeah, well, it's only two changes, Gordon. So if there is to be a different approach from Aberdeen, it will be just that. It will be the way they go about it rather than the players that are going to take to the field.
Well, if they want to try and get 3 points at home, it'll need to be a different approach, because there was no way at any point in that game they were ever going to get 3 points. I don't think they had even a shot at the target, did they? They were that poor. They just gave the ball away constantly. For me, I disagree with Tony. I understand. I do agree with him. They need a better performance. And if I was an Aberdeen supporter, I'd be looking for something different. Of course I would be. But I don't think they tried to attack. They basically sat in for 80 odd minutes and tried to grab a point. It was as simple as that. It was the most negative setup I've seen for a long, long while. I keep getting back to it. I understand it because of who you're playing against, but you must have another plan when you get the ball. You can't just kick the ball back up to them.
You disagree with that, Tony? You think they did try an attack, but they just couldn't?
I'll completely agree with Gordon. We still play with two attackers. We play with a bank of five and a bank of four, like Morocco played all World Cup. We just don't have the skill to connect between the midfield and the strikers. There's still them two quality attackers. I believe in Duke and Miosky are good quality attackers. We just couldn't connect with them. Celtic's midfield is very strong, and the gap between the midfield or the defence up to them strikers was very hard to penetrate.
No point in referencing Morocco to him, Tony. He didn't even watch the World Cup, but luckily Mark Wilson
did. Now, listen, I agree with Tony, exactly what he's saying there. Aberdeen, Jim had a game plan on Saturday to leave the two strikers up, and they had the three midfielders there shuffling across, and you had your wing backs and you had your back three. Tony's right though, they just couldn't get that. Once you got the ball, they couldn't get any controlled possession to get it up to the front men. Now that then faded even further in the second half. They just couldn't even get a hold of the ball. But I could understand what Jim's plan was. Now,
but so what happened then? Because generally, I mean, you would follow the logic. Celtic love space in behind, so let's deny them it. Yeah. Except they didn't deny them it. Like, although they were deep, it didn't feel like they were ever. Certainly not in the second half.
Well, they didn't feel like they were in the first half. I thought the second half, when Abada came on, it was totally different, because Abada's can eliminate players, and he did that. If you see everything good that Celtic did in getting behind him, it was down that right hand side. So the cracks started to appear, and Celtic started creating chances. But the difference was that when Aberdeen got the ball in the second half, Daz is right, they were just booting it up, and Miofsky and Duke had no chance of getting hold of it. Now that might play entirely different tonight. When Aberdeen get possession at the back, they made a couple of changes. Scales is in there, Richardson. I think that team's much more like the one that went to Ibrox and had a go. And Richardson had a, you know, quite a varied day that day. I think he gave away the penalty, but he was a threat going the other way. Scales, again, better defender, but you know,
couldn't
was
play, of course, against his parent
play
club.
Against Celtic. So that might have a better look. More experienced players, and time will tell if it works out the same.
What do you make of the Rangers team, Gordon? It's hard to look by the return of Conor Goldson, as everyone's noted, but also they've stuck with the four attackers, if you like, you know. So in other words, maybe a thought that maybe something would be sacrificed a little bit in acknowledgement that you are away at Pittodrie, but still that's an attacking lineup with the return of Conor Goldson.
Not a surprise. The only one I looked at was Lindstrom. Maybe going back into that middle part, away from home, Pittodrie, where it's going to be a good pace to the game, fiery. But he's stuck with Kamara. He loves Kamara. He likes him. Kamara had lost his way a little bit, you've got to say, under Van Bronckhorst. I know he had an injury as well, but he seems to have got that energy and the excitement back into it. And you know, you can't knock the four, because obviously they've done the business Thursday.
You are on the ball though, because you nearly called him Karama there, but you corrected yourself just in time. Saw the look in your eyes. Listen, fair play. You spotted it before it happened. Thank you to Tony, Aberdeen fan on the line, which takes us up nicely to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I'll tell you who's not missing you. Roger Hanna. 7 last night.
He gets 7
on Beat the Pundit. 7. Outstanding it was. But luckily for you listeners, Gordon Deal and Mark Wilson ain't Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday. So 01419511025. The lines close at 7 o'clock. Get your calls in now.
Hugh Keevan's first Christmas was the first Christmas. Season's greetings from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. We are just under an hour away from kickoff between Aberdeen and Rangers. So keep all your thoughts coming as we build up to the big game. Celtic fans, we can turn our attentions to tomorrow as well, of course. Celtic against Livy at Celtic Park. Ange Postecoglou gave a very interesting answer as well when he was asked about transfer speculation today, because you may have noticed Josip Juranovic has been linked with Barcelona, amongst others. So we'll play you those thoughts. Why not give us your opinion on it right now? 01419511025. And to give you time to call us, we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. How are you two feeling? All right, good form?
He's the one that let everybody down.
I lost last week.
He's the only person that's lost in 3 months.
That was a good game though,
because Marvin followed him on Friday.
Did he? Oh,
ended up a losing streak for the Pundits.
See where you started.
Team game. Glad Marvin was in it with me.
Rogers kicked us off last night. But we've just covered before the break, you know, we've got a wee Christmas night out. You might be a bit distracted. Don't know if you'll be on the ball. I'm looking at these questions.
Hard.
Mixed bag, I would say. Anyway, Nathan's in Paisley. How's it going, Nathan?
Hey guys, how are we?
Good. First time, is it?
Yeah, it is indeed.
Lovely. How do the public feel nowadays, Nathan? Who's dafter out of these two?
DL, I think.
Well, you don't need to think about it. It's quite obvious. I think what's he was just trying to be polite.
What's your second name, Nathan?
Don't tell him that. You don't have to pass that information on.
Why do you want his second name?
I'll tell you in a minute. Right, toss a coin.
You're right. I mean, you did. To be fair, he did lose last week.
I've not been beating edges.
I was in a tiebreaker though. It was a difficult question.
I'm hearing Kylian Mbappe saying, "Listen, it was just in penalties. It doesn't matter." Right. Okay. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it will be Gordon Dell. Nathan, you've got your wish. It is a tails.
Daft DL.
Daft got DL up against Nathan.
DL the dafty.
I tell you what, see if I talk you away, Nathan. Just hang up quickly.
I thought you'd hung
Sorry,
up already.
Hung up.
He's anyway. Away. Dead excited.
Oh, he has.
He's bald.
Surely not.
Bald.
He's gone through the Clyde Tunnel or something.
No,
surely.
No. He's kidding on. He's sitting in the Clyde Tunnel, going like, "I'm not coming out here at 5 past 8."
No way.
Bald.
Nah, I don't believe that.
I'm telling you now.
I think Come he on, had, gave you it, and then he's
bottled it. Absolutely bottled.
Do you know what? I think we have cultivated this, so we need to start being nicer to the contestants, okay. Because see, for about the first 4 years I did this show, that never happened. And now I'd say we've had about three or four people.
Okay, what I'll say then is he lost his signal before he bottled it.
Genuinely, we now can't get anything on the
Nathan the bottler. Just really gonna give you second name.
See the minute I went, what's your second name?
Apologies to anyone who's eating their dinner.
I'm in the Clay Tunnel.
For those sound effects, that was hugely unnecessary. I must admit.
Oh, poor Nathan.
Honestly,
get somebody else on.
Right,
you don't take on anybody.
Paisley as well. It is. We're keeping it local. We've got Andy now in Paisley. Oh. And do you know what? There's someone else trying to get through, also from Paisley. I don't know what's going on.
Andy will do.
Andy, how are you tonight, Andy?
Fantastic.
Good. Thanks for stepping up to the plate. Now, the good thing is I hadn't started the questions, so no one's heard them. So we can still just give Gordon DL some. You need to get that cough scene to
play.
Let's give Gordon DL some Clyde 2, and we'll get Andy's clock up and running. This is the best thing about it, Andy. No small talk. You're just getting pitched straight in. Are you ready?
Aye, ready to go.
Good man. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know. Your time starts now. Which Celtic manager gave James Forrest his debut?
Neil Lynn.
How many Americans are currently playing for Rangers?
One.
Which championship side was Livingston's Joel Nubley on loan with last season?
Queen's South.
Name any manager Hibs have had who was not from the UK.
Pass.
Which league do Kelty Hearts play in?
League 2.
How many seasons did Dundee United spend in the championship before promotion in 2020?
3.
What Scottish side does Niall McGinn play for?
Dundee.
Okay, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can, Gordon.
Good,
loud
same
and clear.
Set of questions. I'm delighted for you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Which Celtic manager gave James Forrest his debut?
Neil Lennon.
How many Americans currently play for Rangers?
2.
Which championship side was Livingston's Joel Nubley on loan with last season?
Abroad.
Name any manager Hibs have had who was not from the UK.
Frank Susie.
Which league do Kelty Hearts play in?
League 1.
How many seasons did Dundee United spend in the championship before promotion in 2020?
I would say 3.
Which Scottish side does Niall McGinn play for?
Aberdeen. Oh no, he plays with Falkirk. Who's he playing with?
Do you know what? Nathan and Paisley.
Dundee.
Nathan and Paisley's now phoning back in.
See you later, Nathan.
So, well, go speak to him, Chris.
See, I told you.
I don't know if we can get him on tomorrow or whatever. We'll see what happens. Andy and Paisley, how do you think it went?
I'm not sure. I'm hoping he was rang with Arbroath and I was right with. I don't know. No.
I was the rang with Arbroath, Andy, so that's bad news right away, mate.
Neil Lennon gave James Forrest his debut. It was against Motherwell. I think he scored, didn't he? So well done. You both got it correct. How many Americans play for Rangers? Malik Tillman and James Sands. It's 2, Andy.
See you later, Andy. Hang up. Time, Andy.
Yeah, I knew he was a yank.
Andy, reach for the red button. Bzzz.
Careful, Andy. I thought you were talking about Gordon DL there. You had me worried, I must say. You'll get that in a minute. Which championship side was Livingston's Joel Nubley with last season on loan? It was Arbroath.
Arbroath, Andy. Come on, Andy.
Sorry, Andy.
You know your Nubleys.
And he's pulling away, Andy. Even time for a ludicrous pronunciation of Frank Susie or whatever he called him. But well done, you were right. You could have gone Miksu Patalainen, of course.
Did Andy
as well.
Get that one?
Pat Fenlon.
Andy get it?
No.
Red button, Andy.
4-1. Kelty Hearts playing League One, Andy. Not League Two. This guy's demolishing you.
Oh, Andy,
I can't believe it.
Andy, you nip down to the Clyde Tunnel. Nathan's got room for you.
5-1. In my head at this point, I'm thinking he's on to try and get the 10.
Oh, I can't believe
And then
believe
you messed
that.
It up.
I know.
Producer Callum, four seasons he was in tears on here on the show. Because that's how long Dundee United took to get out of the Championship. And Niall McGinn, not Aberdeen, not Dundee. Falkirk, bizarrely. That's Stephen you're thinking of. It is Dundee, which Andy got, by the way.
I gave him a
so
bonus
showed a wee
ball.
Bit of strength at the end to finish well, but it was a 5-2 for Gordon Deal.
Hard
lines,
Andy.
Aye,
that was poor. I only knew that Niall McGinn one because I've met him in the Blue Lagoon Chippy before.
There we are. It's all about sure. What we call it. What did they order?
I can't remember what he had, but I think I was doing his nutting.
You should have probably.
You should have hung
about. Wait a night job, that.
What time are we talking, Andy?
It was early bills, like Saturday night out, and I think I was asking for some of his chips or something.
You should have hung about. Newbley was in the Sunday night.
Andy, I like the sound of you. That sounds like something Mark Wilson would do. Thank you very much, Andy.
No bother. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Andy.
Good man.
Thanks.
Nathan's, Andy, not, nice. Nathan's not coming on tomorrow. Thursday.
He's coming on Thursday.
You two will be back. Aye, we'll get him back on Thursday.
He'll be still in the Clyde Tunnel.
No, he must have genuinely broke up. He's phoned back.
I bet Nathan wouldn't get anywhere near Andy. He wouldn't get anywhere near me.
Nathan's spinning some tale about he's working tonight and he's not working Thursday.
Right, okay, so you phone in when you're working, but you don't phone in when you're not working.
I don't know.
How stupid. Come on, Nathan, he's in a
dodgy area because yeah. He's working.
Clyde
so
Tunnel.
He'll phone back on Thursday.
He's stinging his head out the Clyde Tunnel and he's talking to us on the phone. Get him back on. Get Nathan on.
Good victory. You were on form there.
Yeah, you were good there.
And saying that, the questions were easy. I think I got 7.
I've been incredible.
Did you actually? Did you get them all?
Yep.
Do you want to go for the 10?
Yes, go for it.
Who started in goal for Celtic in the 2003 UEFA Cup final? Look how raging producer Callum is.
Rob Douglas.
Because he would have used these spare questions tomorrow.
Now he needs to write for you.
Shaking his head.
Give him then.
Who's the only Scottish side Joe Jordan played for?
Morton.
Aye. And what German team did Rabbi Matondo join Rangers from?
Oh, Hertha Berlin.
Nah, Schalke.
You wouldn't have got Morton, would you?
I wouldn't have got Morton, actually.
Do you know how I got Morton? Because I get Big Joe's tie-ups.
That's right, you've told that before.
Yeah, I went that to Clarence.
You played in a different era, eh?
I went to
tie-ups. That sounds wrong, doesn't it?
Oh, but there was a tie-up.
So what did you do with his tie-ups?
No, it wasn't a lace. It was a tie-up with a frilly bit down the side.
That sounds even more like a
garter. Number 9. If you ever look at Leeds old strip, you'll see the...
So it's like before people used tape, you would hold your socks up.
But the number went down the side of your sock.
What, like a kilt, like a, what do you call those? Like the flashes, right, you wear with kilt socks.
Right, it was like that with a tie.
Why is your phone?
And then you put it round there and you had number 9 on it. And I went up to Clare and went into Joe's house, met him. I was a young up and coming prospect. And it was brilliant. And I watched.
Great.
I watched. No, and do you know I've still got them?
No,
to
he did.
This
he told this before. That even his weird, warped imagination.
You went up to Joe Jordan's house.
Couldn't make
with tie ups.
No, I got the tie ups
as a gift.
He was playing with Leeds at the time.
Right.
Right. And to this day, I've still.
Who's
got
arranged
them.
That for you to get to his house to get tie ups?
Mr. Jordan.
What, his dad?
there's a lot of questions.
Cleland, Big Joe, I'll never forget it. He had his.
And what did you do
teeth.
With him?
I've still got them to this day. That's a lie. I've
that's
not.
Weird.
Right. I wouldn't get away with that one.
Weird story that.
Listen, I'm telling you, it was a highlight of my life.
And what, you played with him? With number 9?
No.
Joe Jordan on them?
Well, I took them and I treasured them. I don't know where they are now, but I treasured them for so long.
Strange.
Speaking of gifts, you two have been sent, I think me as well, actually, we've been sent Christmas gifts. Usually, but we do it since it's the season of goodwill. Don't get me wrong, I'm a bit sceptical about doing this live on air just in case, things go a bit.
Are they actually wrapped?
Properly wrapped.
Who sent us from?
Santa paper and all the rest of it. With an accompanying letter as well. But look, genuinely, a bit serious. Don't do serious. From Gordon and Michelle at Not Just Trophies. I say, these are some Christmas presents For the Super Scoreboard guys, Gordon Duncan, Mark Wilson, Gordon Dale, our way of saying thank you for keeping us entertained. It was especially important during COVID. The Thursday night quiz was the highlight of the week and really kept the spirits up. Thanks again. Here are some early Christmas presents. Let me know if you need a different size. I think I aimed at you two,
definitely
not
you.
Me.
Different.
Definitely you. That's a very nice
that you two.
Aye, very nice.
Make people.
Come on, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah, a new t-shirt.
Merry
Let's see. Oh, lovely.
Right. Stay nice Santa.
You want us to open
well?
It just now?
Oh, why not? All right. This is where we find out it's anthrax or something, and we're getting ourselves on some sort of wild.
That would be a sour turn to the evening, that.
Producer Callum didn't like that comment either. I take it back. I'm sorry. It's Christmas. So.
Why? Who's lighting anthrax?
Let's just stop using that word. It's probably. It's probably.
Oh, by the way, they're great.
Look at that.
So to paint the picture, it's so what team is yours? Celtic,
Celtic.
Obviously. I thought it'd be Breakin. And what are you?
Oh, I'm only one team.
Man City. You're rocking like Glen Afton.
I tell you what, I'm very happy with the company.
I'm in the team.
With the company I'm in.
I love
my
that
team
as well.
It is brilliant.
So basically, mine is a t-shirt. They've all got the dream team, and it's 11 players. Mine are like a dream team of Motherwell players, if you like. So Liam Kelly's got his position in goal, but some of the legends are in there: Stevie Hamill, Phil O'Donnell, Davy Cooper, David Turnbull. You know, good players from years gone by. What? I think was it Michelle and Gordon who sent them in? They have somehow climbed into my dreams as a 9-year-old boy, where it says James McFadden and Gordon Duncan up front.
That's a good side. But it doesn't top mines.
Nah, well, I don't
and
care,
I think
I don't
this is pretty close tell to what a Celtic
not,
dream team should be.
If
because loads
it.
Of fans will think this. We've got Fraser Forster in goal, a back three, a Mark Wilson, Virgil van Dijk and Kieran Tierney.
Oh,
so
wow.
We've got Jinky, Chris Sutton, Tom Rogic and Jota in the midfield. We have front three, a Dalglish, Larson and John Hartson.
Imagine Jimmy Johnson having to look back and see him behind
you
him.
Haven't just feed Jimmy Johnson there. I mean,
I'll
tell me
think
you,
how much better
if
be.
You are up front with Haaland and Aguero, I'm out of here. These t-shirts are getting binned.
My front three is incredible.
Is he actually?
DL out in the right, where I was a sensation. Bags of pace, trickery. Aguero, Tevez. What a three ball as Saturday night out.
I bet
you. Brilliant.
Sounds.
Could you imagine that walking about Manchester?
I don't want to. No.
Three superstars together.
Even you're more handsome than Carlos Tevez for what it's worth. So we'll give you that.
I'd be standing next to him getting the selfies. Come on. Come on, Carlos, in here.
Very kind. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, really nice.
Very kind indeed. Right, on that note, we should probably remember it's football phone in and all that sort of stuff.
What a gift can we get?
Let's take more calls. 01419511025. Aberdeen fans, Rangers fans, getting close to kickoff. How do you feel? Pick up the phone, let us know. What do you make of those teams, Rangers fans? We've not had much reaction yet. A very attacking lineup. Are you happy with that? How does it feel to see Conor Goldson back in there as well? Pick up the phone. And Celtic fans, I will play that clip of Ange Postecoglou when asked about the transfer business. I will do that next, but I need to run this past you.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. J&D Pierce, structural steelwork specialist, proud to support the local community.
Speaking of Mission Christmas, Cash for Kids, did you hear last night's show?
Dad, it was brilliant.
Did you hear us give away the Mercedes that we've been speaking about
great,
for weeks?
Yeah.
That Mark Wilson and I went, test drove, videoed an award-winning piece of footage.
Yeah.
It
we'll
was brilliant. Martin from Shawlands won the Merc last night. He was out in his works van. He said he's got a car, but it was in its last legs.
Oh,
his finance deal was up. He wasn't sure what to do. And he's just won a brand new Merc.
Oh, brilliant.
Incredible stuff. And it all came together, including the text competition, the auction and all the rest of it on the show at the weekend. We raised over £81,000. I cannot stress to you just what a difference that is going to make to young children right here in our communities that need your help this Christmas. It is amazing. Honestly, I kept thinking about it all night and Saturday and since. It is a phenomenal effort and I thank you so much. However, the unfortunate thing is it never stops. That 81,000 is impressive. We just really need to raise as much as possible. So there is still time for you to make a difference if you want to get involved. We're in the process of getting the donations out to the families now, and there is still time for you to jump on board. Clyde1.com/mission. If you just want to chuck a couple of quid and give what you can. Like I've always been saying, we're not talking here about making it some big magical day. We're just trying to make it a bit different for loads of children across Glasgow and the West. So that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pier, structural steelwork, fabrication and construction. We'll take more of your calls next.
Talking baubles all year long. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, both here and now 35 minutes away from kickoff in what we hope will be an absolute cracker at Pittodrie. Aberdeen v Rangers. We've been building up, we've given you the teams. Conor Goldson returns. It's a very attacking Rangers lineup as well. So get all your thoughts in on 01419511025. And we are on Twitter as well. What are you pointing at?
I'm just saying the sizes of the t-shirts. You got a medium.
He's got an XL. I've got a large.
Obviously. Come on.
I got a tent.
Know your place. Let's hear from Ange Postecoglou. He says the club have received no bids for players despite speculation surrounding Josip Juranovic and Stephen Welsh. He says he hasn't even thought about their futures.
I don't have any sort of confidence or lack of confidence about any of our players. They're all here and they're all training. Obviously, Josip's not back yet. He had a great World Cup, absolutely. He was brilliant. Credit to him, and he's got something now, a memory he'll have forever, and represented our football club really well, as did all the boys at the World Cup. And, you know, he's got a bit of time off now. He's got a week off, and he'll be back training early next week and ready to go.
Stephen Welsh has also been linked with a move away from the club this week in the January window. Is there potential for that at all, or is he a player that you're looking to hold on to?
All this speculation. Well, I can tell you right now, we don't have an offer for any player. So, you know, people can talk about offers and clubs wanting, but I can't spend my time chasing shadows of what's in the press every morning, because I'd be spending my whole day talking to players. As I keep saying to people, what I see is what's before me every day here at training. If there's an issue or if players have things put in front of them about their future, I'm sure they'll come and see me and Michael will speak to their representatives. But right now, there's nothing, zero, zip, nada, nothing going on.
I love that. That is brilliant, isn't it? He was actually waiting to see if he could get another something that
just run out of him.
Yeah, yeah. But look, some managers sort of keep things from the press, and you know they'll keep it tight to themselves and the players and everybody concerned. I think when Postecoglou talks, he's talking the truth there. He's saying, look, I can't waste my time in this. I can't spend time speculating. Mm-hmm. He'll have a word with the players. He's no bids. I totally think that's genuine just now. Whether that changes, which I think it will.
Well, it will be, because you can be quite clever with the language. There's a difference. Like, no bid is no bid. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean to say there's not interest or whatever.
Yeah, I think
it'll
change.
And then understandably, he's saying, well, I'm not going to. I can't comment on every speculation.
When he's saying he'd be wasting his time, he obviously has wasted his time in terms of getting Alistair Johnson in and pushing the boat out for that. So there must be. Although he's had no bid, there must be some realisation that Juranovic is a favourite to go out the door. Then backed up with a World Cup, you don't. I don't see the reasoning in bringing in Alistair Johnson to then battle out with Anthony Ralston and Juranovic. What's the thinking behind that? Of course, there must be some reckoning that Juranovic will move
on. I think next week what we'll do is we'll stick you in the press conference and you say, oh, well, is that right, Ange?
Aye.
Why have you signed Alistair Johnson then, mate?
And he might
and
just say, I love three right backs. But that'd be odd.
The thing about the Barcelona speculation is it, not to say that it's definitely going to come to anything, Mark. It just seems like it's being a bit more wide. It's been quite widely reported. It's been reported by some fairly reputable sources as well. Now, sometimes it starts off and it just seems like it's just Twitter talk and you can't really see it any other places than a couple of different Twitter accounts. But I think a lot of big media outlets are sort of picking up on this one. You know, I think Sky did it, for instance. I saw the Mail did it. You know, it's not one of these where it's not necessarily coming from the Glasgow media either, or the Scottish media. It seems to be getting quite widely reported.
Yeah, and you know, you can see why a club like Barcelona would take Juranovic in the way he plays. The World Cup he's had, some of the stars he plays with in that Croatian team, that he would fit into a similar structure from a club point of view. And you're right, Gordon, when it comes to people that report on bigger things than our league, then you tend to take a wee bit more notice of it. But there's still obviously a lot of work to be done, but I'm not surprised that Juranovic is linked with a club the size of Barcelona. I really aren't. I said that a couple of weeks ago. I said that the performances that he's putting in. These squads in the Champions League in the latter stages, in the latter stages of European football, and so many domestic games, although Juranovic can't play in that, they would still look to add him to the squad because they've got that many games domestically. Barcelona's just one of them.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that there will be bids for Juranovic. Donny Sell, absolutely no harm with his performances in the World Cup. And when you see a right back coming in of the quality of Alistair Johnson,
great education in the game he's had as well. Coached from a young age.
Young age, I know a lot about him. I know his strengths and weaknesses. And look, one's got to go. He's not going to carry three right backs like Johnson, Juranovic, and Ralston. So it looks like the money's on Juranovic leaving in the January window.
Do you know how I can tell that you're distracted by our Christmas night out to Topgolf? You've not even clocked the fact that I've forgotten to give you a teaser up until now, and it's 7:30.
Usually the first
to whinge that I'm not giving you time. So I'm going to speak to Williams, a Celtic fan, in just a sec. So let me give you Stephen's question tonight. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. It is a twist on what we did last night. Since the 2010-11 season, 10 British players have scored for Rangers at Pittodrie in a league game. So since 2010-11, 10 British players have scored for Rangers at Pittodrie in a league game. And the difference in approach last night, see Roger Hanna, Andy Halliday, they actually try and remember the games, and they just shout random names
Boyd.
At me.
Yeah.
No.
Why have you went for Boyd right away?
I thought
Kent.
Yes, because you remember the goals. That's the way to do it, right?
One over the top. I remember that one.
Well, sort of, yeah. Okay.
Scott Wright. I don't remember a game, to be quite honest with you, so I probably got that wrong. Tavernier.
Tavernier's got to be one, isn't it?
Well done, yes.
Right, free kick.
Ryan Jack.
Yes, against his former team. Yeah. Okay, we're getting there now. 3-7 to go. Let's bring in William, who is a Celtic fan. What is on your mind tonight, William? We were just chatting transfers, but I know you may have other things to discuss.
I think listening to Angie Day and listening to Jim Goodwin before the game, I think the hint was there that Jim was going to park the bus. You know, myself, I don't like it because I like to see open football. I like to see two teams trying to win the game. But although Jim probably looked at it and thinks to himself where his Aberdeen team is right now, I think what he's done in a short period of time has been good at Aberdeen compared to where they were last season. You know, so I think Jim still get a few transfer windows to fix what he's wanting to fix in the Aberdeen team. So I think there's a lot to do with that as well, you know, rather than between Celtic and Rangers and the different challenges that he's got when it comes to home, especially when they're scoring a lot of goals in Pittodrie. You know, it was a bit of a surprise because they've scored 4 goals against Hibs, 4 goals against a few teams up there, you know, so it was a wee bit of a surprise because I do think there's goals in that Aberdeen team, you know. But I just look at it and I think even Livingston, when you look at Livingston tomorrow, I think Livingston are good at being underdogs, you know. They've took points off Aberdeen and they've took points off Hearts, you know. So I think looking at it, and Ange's right, it's different challenges, and I think it's more to do with what Jim's talking about. I think the transfers, I would like to see a striker coming in. I know you're talking about 3 right backs there, you know, so there's obviously that's not going to work. You know, I think Ralston's been really good every time he's played for Celtic, and I think you need that connection with young players coming through at Celtic. So I think there's a lot of wee factors in with everything that Jim Goodwin said, a lot of factors in that what Postecoglou said. And I thought Rangers played really well in the second half against Hibs, so I think I think he probably will park the bus tonight and maybe get a wee bit more joy against Rangers tonight than they did against Celtic, even though it took Celtic the last 5 minutes to score, you know. But I just think Jim Goodwin knows where his team is right now, and it's probably not where he wants it to be.
Well, we're not too far away from finding out. Kickoff 25 minutes away now, Mark Wilson. Look, we're obsessed with the psychology, and this just goes back to everything that Ange Postecoglou is saying about how it all gets lumped together. But only 2 teams can win this, right? That we know that, so that's why we do it. And tonight, again, in very simple terms, You see what Rangers can do. If they happen to drop the ball, what an opportunity for Celtic. And as William says, although tomorrow is a fixture that Celtic are very much favourites at home, if Rangers do win, there's still that tiny little added need for Celtic to go and respond. Ange Postecoglou would argue that and say, you know, they're just focusing on themselves. Again, that's fine. You know what? It's not that we're disagreeing with that. But for us on the outside, if you're looking at if we've got any semblance of a title race, then that's what it's going to need to be.
Of course, if Rangers win tonight, obviously they close the gap until Celtic play. And I've said before, I've been there. Even though you're ahead in the league, you still go into it with that wee bit of added pressure that you know you cannot drop anything, because it just gives that little bit of hope to Rangers as the opposition. And they'll think, right, okay, even before Christmas is done, we've chipped away at the points deficit, and Michael Beale would sit back and go, there we go, we're off to a flyer. So whatever happens tonight, Celtic have to concentrate on their own performance and take 3 points. And that's got to be the way up until the game on the 2nd of January for both. Got to say, it's a harder challenge for Rangers. If you look at the two fixtures, definitely a harder challenge for Rangers tonight. And Beale will know that. Beale will know that his first two games for Rangers, he could have probably picked easier opposition if he had to unpick anybody in the league. It certainly wouldn't have been Hibs at home and then Aberdeen away.
And
so
then the logistics of it all, because he goes to Dingwall
Ross
on
County.
Friday.
Yeah, so difficult spell.
Albeit not exactly flying.
To be fair, I don't think Jim Goodwin would have been sitting thinking, I'll take
Celtic and
Rangers.
Yeah.
I know he's got them at home.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Going back to William's point about Aberdeen as well, I think Aberdeen under Jim has improved massively. But he's spent in the region of $2 million. I think that they will continue. I think that this year is a case of trying to get that third spot. But I keep going back to it. I do understand being more cautious against, you know, in Celtic on Saturday. But you've got to have another bit of a plan to say, right, okay, it's great when we've not got the ball. We're making it very difficult. We're sitting very deep. We're not giving Celtic space. But hold on a minute. Somewhere along the line, we're going to get the ball. And they had no plan after that. So tactically, that was wrong, because they kicked the ball up the park and people go, they had two strikers up there. Well, you'd been better sitting them in the stand. They weren't contributing in.
Tomorrow
they weren't
then
the service.
Now, I have no idea what the bookmakers' odds would be. Celtic would be by a mile favourites to win a home game against Livingston. Sorry, Marvin Bartley, if you're listening. But they were the last team out with Rangers, apart from Rangers, to deny Celtic a victory at Celtic Park domestically.
The one Jacky Marcus misses a penalty,
0-0 October 2021.
Yeah, and
Celtic have won every other league game at home since then against, you know, all the other teams.
And you know what, I think that day was Livy not denied a penalty in the closing stages, where the goalkeeper came out, and was it Joe Hart punched Obelai, was it? So although Celtic missed apparently, Livy could have scored as well. And they made it incredibly difficult for Celtic that day. You know, they defended well. Celtic just couldn't find the answer. So, look, Ange Postecoglou has seen it before. He knows how treacherous these games, these so-called easy fixtures, can be.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Gordon. The fact that that was October 2021 tells you that Celtic don't have too many of those days at home. But it just, whether it's just a reminder or, you know, nothing more than that, every now and then it can happen, because the focus always goes on to how much more difficult it is away from home when you go to Livy, when you go to St Mirren. But Livy, like I say, the last team apart from Rangers to go to Celtic Park domestically and prevent Celtic winning.
You wouldn't take anything away from Dave Martindale and Livy on that. They're absolutely not, and I'm not trying to. But I think Celtic are a much stronger team, in the sense that, you know, they look at against Aberdeen at the weekend, Gordon. Everybody, well, a lot of people are sitting thinking, oh, this could be a draw. They find a way to break these teams down.
You think the mentality's improved?
I just think,
because I'm looking at the personnel, it's obviously not hugely different. You know, McGregor played, the attacking trio was Jacky Marcus, Abada and Jota. But Kyogo came on before the hour mark. James Forrest came on. Look, there are one or two little differences, because Mikey Johnson came on, whereas this time it might be Haksabanovic, you know. So Nir Beaton played, where this time it might be Matt Riley or Hatate. So the squad's evolved, but is maybe the evolution of the mentality as important?
I think they're growing stronger as a side, Gordon. I really do. And it's been shown, you know, Dingwall as well, when their backs are against the wall, they needed that, and Ralston pops up. Saturday, the captain pops up. They've got a great belief now, a great strength in their side. You know, even the substitutions that can that I think Postecoglou's grown into the Scottish game as well, as much as he's hit the ground running. You look at his substitutions, every time he makes them, they make an impact. We spoke about it tonight. Abada at the weekend, come on, and I think gave Celtic such a lift. So, I think the mentality's a lot better, because I think they've grown as a team. And when you get that as a togetherness, and you think, yeah, we're in a difficult day here, which every team gets, let's be honest, every team gets it, they just find that belief and will to go and break teams down and win.
Thank you, William. 01419511025. How are things going on this teaser then? And just a reminder, this is what Stephen did tonight, and it's exactly what we're looking for from you. If you're up for it, come up with a question, email it to me, fulltime@clyde1.com, and then we see if the pundits can come up with the answers to your question. So it's quite good fun. Stephen's sitting at home expecting these two to mess up, I'm sure. 10 British players have scored for Rangers at Pittodrie in the league since 2010-2011. You've got Kent, Tavernier and Jack.
I might be on the boundaries here, and I might be out. Stephen Nesmith?
No.
Steve Davis surely must have scored. What about the four?
Yes, 2019.
Goldson? Did we say Goldson?
Did McCrory score before he went to
Aberdeen? Well done. Yeah. What a shout that is. Well done. Okay, I'll give you some more thinking time, and we'll get the rest of the answers and go back to Pittodrie next.
Hugh. Merry Christmas from Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. Still time for you to get in touch if you fancy, though. 01419511025, or indeed Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're trying to test these two out, and it's working fairly well on the full-time teaser tonight. Stephen asked them if they could name, since 2010-11, 10 British players that have scored for Rangers at Pittodrie in a league game. You're doing quite well. Ryan Kent, James Tavernier and Ryan Jack of the current squad. You've got Jermaine Defoe and Ross McCrory, of course, is now an Aberdeen player. Any more during the break?
Yeah, we got the most important two. The Rug, Andy Halliday.
The Rug. Uh-huh. Our very own
Kenny Miller.
And formerly our very own. There we are. We'll make him back for a special Christmas appearance.
Don't worry, I'm watching the results.
If you had missed out those two, you would have been in trouble.
Kyle Lafferty.
Oh, well done.
Yes, Mark.
So we've got two to go, have we?
You have got two to go.
I was going to go down the road.
Is one
an ex-Aberdeen player that went to Rangers?
Who are you thinking?
I'm thinking of a lad that played wide left. Is it Stewart?
Greg Stewart? Nah.
Good effort, eh?
Nope. Sorry.
Good effort.
Okay, let's bring in Alan, who's called all the way from Perth, Australia. How's it going, Alan?
I'm pretty good, thanks. I'm still half asleep because I woke up about 30 minutes ago, and then I realised that I went to Radio Guide. Tuesday and a Thursday, best nights of the week.
What time is it, Alan? What time is it?
I woke up. I wasn't going to Rangers, but the body clock was up, and then
No, Alan's line's not great. The signal's not great. I can't hear him. Let's see if producer Chris can speak and try and get it cleared up.
He's in Perth, Australia.
Nah,
only know Melbourne.
Had a good night out in Perth, so I did some one time.
Did you not say it was the best nightclub you'd ever
been?
That was
Sydney. But then a couple of days later, we went out in Perth. That was.
Is that all you think about?
Yeah. It got us through 3 weeks.
It's 3:45 in the morning.
And he gets up to listen.
Why is he getting up to listen to us?
He's going to watch the game, obviously.
Oh, right, okay.
No, let's just pretend it's solely for us.
That was nice. Nice of him.
Do you know what? That is incredible, isn't it? It shows you the loyalty to football in general. He's up to watch his team. And as part of that build up, we're part of that build up. So he phones in 3:45 in the morning.
I'm touched.
And what did he. Okay. I think we've got him back. Alan, so it's 3:45 in the morning. Do you always get up to watch the midweek games that the Rangers are playing in?
Aye, well, I try, but I don't usually set alarm, but my body wakes me up anyway, and then I check the time. But then I realised it's a Tuesday night, Mark and Gordon are on, I had to phone in. Two legends of the game, you know what I mean?
Absolutely brilliant.
Spot on.
Alan. No, I don't know about that.
Thanks, Alan.
Alan was out before he phoned in. That's, I think. How long have you been over there, Alan? You've not lost your accent.
I really drink. I've been here 21 years.
21 years? That's amazing, because was it not exactly 21 days you lasted in Australia
before throwing your toys out the pram and coming back? No, listen, that's a false story, but listen, Alan's made a life over there.
Fake news over there.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a fantastic country.
Alan's made a life over there. It's getting very serious about it. Kind of advice. Guy's been here 21 years. Alan, anyway, when the game kicks off in about 10 minutes, how are you feeling? Is it going to be worth your while getting up?
Well, do you know what? I've got my two boys. I'm picking my two boys up in the morning early, and I'm going to make them breakfast. So I hope it's worth it, because I'm picking them up at 9 o'clock. So I think we're going to win. With Michael Beale back, after watching it, I know Leverkusen was a friendly, but the Hibs game, forget the first half, second half, outstanding. You know, I think tactically, the way we're, you know, the intensity we're playing it as well. And we've got the players, let's be honest, we've got the best players. If we play the way we should, we're going to do it. Plus Conor Goldson, that's my main point. I've been his biggest critic. I mean, really, I always picking out the negative in him. But since he's been at the team, you can see we've really struggled. So apologies to big Conor. What a player.
what a player. He's gone from on his biggest critic, a focus on the negatives, player, and yeah, he's now come round to what a player.
At least he apologised to him.
I like that. We said it earlier, you don't know what you've got until it's gone. Sometimes it happens, Mark.
It's just been a problem position for Rangers this season, because I don't even think Goldson was at his best when he started the season. However, he was still better than the rest. And then you look at who's beside him. It was Sands, it's been Lundstrom. Davies comes in, then Davies disappears somewhere, and we're told he's a bit off at some times. Suter, obviously, is it one game he's played and then he disappears?
Hillander seems miles away.
So there is no consistency in that position. Mm. And what Beale really needs just now is a reliable centre half, and Goldson has proved over the years he has that.
He's Rangers' best centre. He's Rangers' best defender. Let's not be kidding. He's their best defender by a country mile for me. And he did have a bit of criticism at times. But you're right, Gordon. It's not until they're out of the team that you sit back and you think, listen, he held things together. He held the defence together. I think he worked very well with Tavernier as well. And I think McGregor will miss him as well.
Thank you very much, Alan. Enjoy your morning, if that's the right expression. Thank you very much for taking the time. I really do appreciate it.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Alan.
Good man. That was Alan. Alan Earth, Australia. 10 to 4 in the morning. Unbelievable.
He had 5 minutes, us, and he's cozying back into the sheets, isn't he?
Right, do you know what we'll do? Let's quickly round off the teaser now, and then we'll finish by going back to Pittodrie and get more of the atmosphere there.
I'm struggling.
So we're looking for, is it two more players that have scored, British players that have scored for Rangers in the league at Pittodrie since 2010-11?
Right, how far back are we going, Gordon?
2017 for both of them.
Clint Hill? No.
No, but that sort of era. Further up the pitch.
Rob Kieran?
Famous pitch. Footballing dad as well.
I'm glad I never said that there. I'm so glad.
Josh Windass.
Josh Windass.
Who were you going to say?
He was going to say Timothy Weah or something.
No, I was going to say Shields.
Never mind. Okay, and 2017, but we'd have been his second spell at Rangers, I guess. Went down to Liverpool in between times.
Danny
and
Wilson.
So on. Danny Wilson. There we go. Well done. Full time at Clyde1.com. Send your teasers in for future use. How's it building up at Pittodrie, Gabriel?
Yeah, it's cranking up here, Gordon. The northeast Rangers fans packing out the left-hand side of the south stand in anticipation. They are here to see the second game of the Michael Beale era. Of course, it began with that enthralling 3-2 comeback victory over here, Burnley, on Thursday night. But the new manager knows he must improve. His team must get better here if they want to head back down the road with 3 points. They face a resolute Aberdeen side who are just 3 minutes away from holding champion Celtic to a stalemate here at the weekend. And the Dons stick with that 5-3-2 formation that they used. Manager Jim Goodwin is resolute. He's stubborn. He said that he is the manager, but it remains to be seen if they will be as defensive as they were against the Hoops. He's made two changes from that team with Liam Scales and Jaden Richardson coming in. The team is as follows. It's Kelleroos in goal, a back three of Ross McCrory, Anthony Stewart and Liam Scales, with Jaden Richardson and Hayden Coulson as wing-backs. Conor Barron and Ilbert Ramdani in midfield, with Leighton Clarkson just in front of them. Bojan Miovski and Duke are the two strikers. With the big news for Rangers is the return of Connor Goldson, a key figure in their backline. He's playing for the first time in nearly 2 months. He's the only change from that victory over Hibernian last week. He comes in for John Lundstrom, who drops to the bench. Leon King and Ben Davies are among the substitutes. Antonio Colak headlines the list of absentees. Alan McGregor is in goal. It's the back four of James Tavernier, James Sands, Connor Goldson and Adam Devine. Ryan Jack and Glenn Kamara in midfield, with Malik Tillman just ahead of them. Ryan Kent and Fashion Sakala out wide. Alfredo Morelos leads the line. Now this will be fiery for Rochus. These two teams love playing against each other. Aberdeen are winless in the past 13 league meetings with the Jers. Their last win over them here came courtesy of James Maddison's right boot thundering in a free kick back in 2016. But this is a Jers team under new management. They're still hampered by injuries and they are trying to hold on to Celtic's coattails in the league. Can the Jers deliver another big result at Pittodrie? Kickoff is just 5 minutes away.
And it should be an absolute cracker. Whatever happens, we will reflect on it all tomorrow at 6 o'clock, right here in the usual place with Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy. We're off for our mini Christmas night out. Yeah. Hope we've got the game recorded after Top Golf. Yeah. We all going back to the flat to watch the game back. Yeah, I wouldn't set foot in that place if my life depended on it. Thank you. We are back tomorrow with Hugh and Jim at 6 and Callum Gallagher's up next.